Good morning. Thanks for joining us. It's Tuesday, January 20th, Inauguration Day. I'm Pat Farnak. Here's what's happening. The stage is set.
The U.S. Capitol building with its great dome is decked out in red, white, and blue. The presidential podium at the ready.
The crowds have gathered.
The U.S. Capitol building with its great dome is decked out in red, white, and blue. The presidential podium at the ready.
And now we're just an hour away from the swearing-in of Barack Obama as the 44th President of the United States. Our live continuing coverage with Rich Lamb straight ahead. Listen to history unfold on the air and watch it happen online. Our coverage sponsored by Lightspeed Trading, trading below the belt.
This is a CBS News special report, the inauguration of Barack Obama. Good morning. I'm Dan Raviv in Washington. History is being made today here in our nation's capital. The 44th president of the United States, our first African-American president, will be sworn in 1 hour from now. The ceremony will start in half an hour. Huge crowds are filling the National Mall, thick with people, hundreds of thousands from the Capitol building to the Washington Monument about a mile away. At 12 o'clock Eastern Time, Barack Obama will place his left hand on the same Bible used by Abraham Lincoln when he took the oath of office for his first term in 1861. It will sound more or less like this collection of recordings that span seven decades.
I, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, do solemnly swear.
I, Harry S. Truman, do solemnly swear.
I, Dwight D. Eisenhower, do solemnly swear.
I, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute
the office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability,
preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. Yes, we will hear trumpets playing Hail to the Chief, hailing the new president, Barack Obama. Let's go to the scene where that will unfold, the ceremony to begin in just under half an hour on the western steps of the Capitol, just below the famous dome. I must say that President Bush and President-elect Obama have both just arrived at the Capitol. They were driven together in the new presidential limousine, a product of Cadillac, by the way. Let's go to CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer. You're on the western steps of the Capitol with details of what Mr. Obama will say in his inaugural address minutes after 12 o'clock Eastern time. Peter?
That's right, Dan. People in the know, top aides to Barack Obama, tell us that the speech will begin by laying out the enormity of the task confronting the country. Mr. Obama will assure people early on in the speech that he believes the challenges will be met. This is a man facing great expectations, and a top aide to Mr. Obama says the speech will balance a serious and very sober tone with a dose of hope and inspiration that the country can get through the challenges, the economic and foreign challenges ahead. They keep using the word sober, these Obama aides, when we speak to them. One of them telling us that this is going to be the most serious speech that he's ever delivered. In the words of this one person familiar with the speech, president, soon to be president, will buck up the American people with this substantial dose of hope and inspiration. As you said, the Obamas have just arrived here at the Capitol. They'll be greeted by congressional leaders from both parties inside, beyond the 200,000 plus people who have tickets to this history book day. Hundreds of thousands of Barack Obama's other best friends are standing in the mall. On the mall, and I have to tell you, Dan, I've been to every one of these inaugurals since 1977, and I simply, there's no other way to put it, I simply cannot believe my eyes as I look at this crowd stretching from the United States Capitol all the way back to the Lincoln Memorial. And alongside is CBS's Rich Lamb. Rich, your observations.
Well, I want to tell you that if you look at Google Maps, you'll find out that from the west face of the Capitol to the Lincoln Memorial is 2.2 miles. So it's 2.2 miles of people out there. It is a glorious scene, stretching out in front of the west front of the Capitol, a million or so people, most of whom braved the frigid pre-dawn gloom to be here. Others had tickets, and they stand shoulder to shoulder on the nation's lawn. Now, on the platform itself, a smiling Senator John McCain, who lost the election to Barack Obama. Senator Ted Kennedy is here. We all know he is suffering from a brain tumor. Behind them, the west front of the Capitol, all decked out in red, white, and blue, and towering over all, the Capitol's magnificent dome. This building, partially built by slaves, will today witness the swearing-in of America's first African-American president. Dan?
Rich Lamb on the western steps of the Capitol, where dignitaries, including members of the Supreme Court, are now gathering. Let's move half a mile to the west, on the National Mall, but behind where the 240,000 lucky ticket holders are right now. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan, and you're with the non-ticket holders in a cold and, I assume, loud crowd, Steve.
Right on both counts, Dan. Very cold. Everybody is bundled up. As one woman said, we're layered up and fired up for this inaugural. Lots of people here with American flags, wearing parkas and ski hats. The farther back I look, people are really shoulder to shoulder, as Rich Lamb described. I mean, there is no room to move when you get behind some of the barricades there. People are up against them, and it's very uncomfortable, but everybody seems to be in good spirits. And every time the next president shows up on these big jumbotrons that are here, whether it's walking on his way here or getting into a car, big cheers go up. So everybody's very excited about all this.
CBS's Steve Kathan. We're now about 24 minutes away from the start of the ceremony. And at high noon here in Washington, D.C., Barack Obama will take the oath of office to be our president. That's about 54 minutes from now. Let's consider the inaugural parade route. A parade on Pennsylvania Avenue from the Capitol to the White House will be led by the Obamas in the new bulletproof, blastproof Cadillac limousine that the Secret Service will use to transport and protect the president. The parade is to start at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Cabinet and agency designees.
As you hear, nominees for the cabinet are now arriving on the western steps of the Capitol. But let's go to the parade route. CBS News reporter Tom Foti, you'll have a fine view outside on a terrace at the museum, Pennsylvania Avenue and 6th Street Northwest. Tom?
Indeed, Dan, we already have had a partial view. Unlike large parts of the mall described by Steve Kathan, this area is not yet filled up with wall-to-wall people. We are at the museum. That's about 11 blocks east of the White House. It's tightly controlled in terms of access because not only will the new president will be coming back here from the Capitol this way, but just a few minutes ago we witnessed that motorcade of motorcades. Huge contingent of motorcycle police officers followed by limousines, including that new one carrying Mr. Bush on his way out of office, Mr. Obama on his way in. The people who turned out here had to do it very early. I spoke to them while it was still dark, and they were still making their way, determined to make their mark.
To see the inaugural, to see the first African-American president, his history.
History. His inaugural.
His speech, I think I'll be real interested in, because it's going to be historic, so I know it's going to be great.
Needless to say, the security here is enormous, almost as many police officers on hand as people on the street, and occasionally helicopters above. Dan?
Tom Foti on Pennsylvania Avenue. Also on that parade route, again, the parade will begin after 2:30 p.m. Eastern. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato. What do you see, Barry?
Dan, I see a line of people all the way down Pennsylvania, and you should have been here to hear the noise when that motorcade that Tom Foti described went by here. Little flags waving from people's hands, flags on poles whipped by a chilly wind. People are layered, so is the security. These folks that came down here had to wait several hours just to get through the gates. And on the other side of the mall from where I am, a line pushed up against 10 National Guardsmen a short time ago. It started out good-natured, but got a little heated. Finally, the guardsmen just threw up their hands and said, we can't hold this, and gave up. And now people are thronging through those gates. You can't hold back history, Dan.
CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato. Well, let's go back to the western steps of the Capitol for a moment. CBS's Peter Mayer, name some of the dignitaries whom you see as they take their seats.
Well, what strikes me, Dan, is really a political who's who, including those who have dreamed of the job that Barack Obama will get today. The job that's been described as the loneliest in the world, although at a news conference recently, President Bush said he never felt the burdens of the office in that way. As Rich Lamb mentioned a few minutes ago, John McCain is here, a smiling John McCain, working the crowd of his fellow senators, a lot of handshakes all around. John Kerry, another presidential candidate vanquished several years back. He's here. Joe Lieberman, who had dreams of this job. Chris Dodd, who had aspirations during the past year. And any number of others, past presidential candidates, and those who dream of it in the future. We see the new senator from Virginia, Mark Warner, also here working the crowd of Republican and Democratic colleagues from the Senate. He, in the past, has been mentioned as a presidential possibility. Another really funny thing, Dan, that you see every 4 years at these inaugurals, the number of members of Congress who bring their own cameras. I see Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. He's got his own video camera going here, maybe some coverage for the people back home in Iowa. And, of course, Senator Patrick Leahy is one of the best-known photographers in the Senate, and he has a more of a sophisticated camera with a long lens, and he's probably, maybe 10 feet away from the presidential podium, so he won't be needing that. And speaking of panoramas, the view that Barack Obama will have as he steps out onto this platform, the 555-foot-tall Washington Monument, the monument to the man who called our country a great experiment in democracy. So, you know, it's just that kind of day here, Dan, just history being written every second.
Plus the people between where you are on the western steps of the Capitol and the Washington Monument, thick with people. Yes, they've come. A lot of young people, a lot of African Americans, but not mostly minority group Americans, no. Americans of all types have come.
Former Vice President Dan Quayle, former Vice President Al Gore, accompanied by Mrs. Mondale, Mrs. Quayle, and Mrs. Gore.
Taking their seats, former vice presidents, as you hear. At the White House a short time ago, the Obamas and the Bushes had coffee. And we noted that Mr. Bush held hands with Mrs. Obama when the newcomers arrived this morning. That was after a church service the Obamas attended. Also, Mrs. Obama brought a gift for Mrs. Bush, a nice little wrapped package. Professor Mina Bose, presidential historian at Hofstra University, CBS News consultant today. This is all traditional, all by the book. But, Mina, this transfer of power, I find it to be quite warm. It's not frosty.
No, indeed, it's not. And it epitomizes more than anything else the rule of law under which this country functioned. That at noon on January 20th, and that's been that way since the 20th Amendment was ratified, a new president will take office, and there have been no exceptions to that rule. Of course, before 1933, it was March 4th, but the principle remains the same. Now, outgoing and incoming presidents have not always been cordial. The Truman-Eisenhower transition is famous for that, but both families have always respected the tradition.
The ceremony, kind of the pre-ceremony, is getting underway as you hear in the background. Members of the military are actually marching now onto the stage there on the western steps of the Capitol, holding the colors. The American flag and regimental colors of military troops. During the ceremony, which starts formally there in just over 15 minutes, we'll hear a poet selected by Mr. Obama. She's Elizabeth Alexander. She'll recite her new poem composed for this occasion after his inaugural address. Elizabeth Alexander is a professor of African American Studies at Yale University. She told CBS News her aim.
My hope is to humbly approach the challenge of offering a moment of stillness, a moment of distilled language, a moment of hopefully unusual language in the way that poetry is always language made fresh and language that is in some way different from everyday speech, to offer that up at this tremendous, tremendous moment, this moment in history, this moment of looking forward, and that it will be a moment that other people can take as meditative as we then look forward.
Even the new vice president doesn't get to give a speech yet. You, in effect, do. All right, in the form of poetry, and it may sound silly, but let's remind Americans, poems do not have to rhyme, and that is not one of your goals. It's not too different from delivering a speech or your commentary.
Well, I actually don't think of poetry as being commentary or think of poetry as being speech-making. I think of poetry as being more akin to song, to music, to prayer. It is providing a moment of powerful language, but that is also a moment of pause. A moment where we can take in through this distilled language all that is swirling around us on, you know, a tremendously momentous day.
Will the black experience be in that poem?
Well, I am an African-American poet, and so at the end of the day, it will be a poem that is written by an African-American poet. But what I firmly believe across culture, across time, across history, that it is by speaking out of what we know, that is how we get to universal truths and universal understandings of large and complicated issues.
All right, I'll only go for one scoop here. Approximately, how long is your poem?
I can't even tell you that yet. I can't jinx it. I can't do it, but it won't be too long. Let's put it that way. Not a haiku, not an epic.
Elizabeth Alexander, who will be the poet in the inaugural ceremony, the ceremony to begin in about 15 minutes on the western steps of the Capitol. Part of our CBS News coverage, Rich Lamb of WCBS Radio is there. Rich?
We are indeed, and we've been looking down at this great throng of people. Just a few minutes ago, the Master of Ceremonies, after everybody had stood for the presentation of the colors, suggested that everybody might sit down. That drew gales of laughter from the million or so people who are standing shoulder to shoulder and foot to foot out there on the nation's lawn, the National Mall. They have nowhere to sit down. They're standing up through this whole thing and stomping their feet and warding off the cold. It is a magnificent scene, and the view they have is a wonderful one. They're looking at the west face of the Capitol, which is all decked out in red, white, and blue. Behind them, the 555-foot obelisk of the Washington Monument, and behind that, the Lincoln Memorial, which was constructed from 1914 to 1922, and at its opening, by the way, it was a segregated ceremony. The blacks were not allowed to participate fully in that. So that's one of the ironies of this day here in Washington. Peter?
Dan, Peter Mayer here. You know, Rich mentioned the Lincoln Memorial, and we really can't mention the great emancipator on this day that the first black president is being inaugurated without recalling a sad chapter in the nation's history, what's been described as the original sin of this country. Slaves helped build the White House and the very Capitol where Barack Obama will become president. Slave markets, in fact, many people don't realize this, dotted what is now the National Mall, where these hundreds of thousands of people are standing today. And as we await Mr. Obama's speech, we recall Lincoln's words here, with malice toward none, with charity for all, words uttered at his inauguration. Of course, today, Mr. Obama, as you mentioned at the top of the broadcast, Dan, using the same red velvet gilt-edged Bible on which Mr. Lincoln placed his hand, and this is the first time it's been used since 1865. By the way, it's called the Lincoln Bible, but it wasn't a Lincoln family Bible. It was a Bible that literally had to be borrowed on the day Mr. Lincoln was sworn in, because the family Bible was still packed with the Lincoln family's belongings making their way from Springfield, Illinois, here to the Capitol, Dan. What you're hearing in the background is a corridor inside the Capitol building where former presidents are making their way to this ceremony now. I see the elder Bushes in matching purple scarves, George H.W. Bush and his wife Barbara, and Bush 41, as he's called, the elder President Bush, has been walking with Bill Clinton, who's there with his wife Hillary Clinton, who is the designee to be the Secretary of State. By the way, we learned today that the full U.S. Senate plans to have a confirmation vote on her. And Senator Clinton is expected to be confirmed to be Secretary of State tomorrow. Right now, ceremony getting underway on the western steps of the Capitol. The formal start, just over 10 minutes away, but there is music, there has been singing, and boy, are there people. You can see the crowd from the Capitol.
The 39th President of the United States, Jimmy Carter and Mrs. Rosalynn Carter.
As you hear, that
Carters have arrived, not just the elder Bushes and Bill and Hillary Clinton, former presidents, also with seats of honor at this ceremony. How many people are there on the National Mall to watch this? Some from relatively close up, some not. Well, there are 240,000 ticket holders. 28,000 have seats, and everyone else has to stand. And behind them, non-ticket holders. It's believed that today there will be more than 1,200,000 people. That was the crowd for Lyndon Baines Johnson's inauguration in 1965. That was the biggest crowd in Washington, D.C., 1.2 million in 1965. And it's widely expected that that number will be exceeded today. Right now, it's 20 minutes past the hour, the official ceremony to begin in about 10 minutes. But right now, from CBS News, let's get the latest.
The inauguration of Barack Obama. I'm Jim Taylor. Less than an hour from now, we'll have a new president.
I'm Peter Mayer on the steps of the Capitol, overlooking the inaugural podium. A top aide to Barack Obama says the all-important Inauguration Day speech will begin by laying out the enormity of the task facing the nation. Officials say that the address will balance, quote, a serious and very sober tone with a dose of hope and inspiration that the nation can get through its current challenges.
Washington, D.C. police bracing for as many as 2 million people today. They got more than they could handle at the National Mall this morning. As we hear from CBS's Barry Bagnato, it was like a scene out of Woodstock when the fences came down.
On the other side of the mall from where I am, a line pushed up against 10 National Guardsmen a short time ago. It started out good-natured, but got a little heat, and finally the guardsmen just threw up their hands and said, we can't hold this, and gave up, and now people are thronging through those gates.
Other gates to the mall now closed, people with tickets turned away, others simply giving up after waiting for hours, and there are reports of some minor injuries in the sub-freezing weather. The crowds are keeping warm, though, by cheering on the president-elect's motorcade as it rolls slowly toward the Capitol. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed says it's almost like watching the wave in a stadium.
You can see the flag waving and hear the cheers just move progressively down the mall as the motorcade gets closer and closer.
I'm Jim Taylor.
WCBS News Radio, 1060. And WCBS880.com. You can listen online. This is sponsored by Lightspeed Trading, trading below the belt. WCBS 880 AM and WCBS880.com.
The 42nd President of the United States, William Jefferson Clinton, and Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Holding hands, the Clintons are coming in to, as you hear, warm applause on a very cold day. And when you look out from the Capitol over the National Mall, as far as you can see toward the Washington Monument, filled with people, so there must be at least 500,000 in that sector. And beyond the Washington Monument toward the Lincoln Memorial, even more pictures, even more people, and 300,000 believed to be lining Pennsylvania Avenue to be ready for the traditional parade this afternoon. Let's hear from John Lewis, the congressman from Atlanta, who was a civil rights activist with the late Martin Luther King Jr. John Lewis spoke with CBS News correspondent Nick Young.
It is still unbelievable. It is still unreal. I cannot believe what I'm about to be a witness to just 45 years after the march from Washington in 1963. I remember standing on those steps with Martin Luther King Jr. And speaking and hearing him say, I have a dream today, a dream deeply rooted in American dreams. And it just appeared to me that the swearing in of Barack Obama is a major down payment on making that dream real.
There you allude, of course, to the speech and your presence in the civil rights movement from the earliest days. And certainly in those early days, the struggle, while there was this component to it of what we could wish and hope for someday, there was, I'm sure, a more modest goals for all of you.
Well, it was very simple, to end segregation and racial discrimination and public accommodation, public transportation, desegregate the schools, and win the right to vote. But we never, in my early days never dream or thought that one day a person of color, an African American, would be elected president. It was the wildest thing that any of us ever thought about.
What do you think Dr. King's reaction would be?
I think Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would be very proud and very pleased to see someone like a Barack Obama emerge. And no doubt, on the inauguration day when Barack Obama takes the oath of office, he would be looking down saying, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Dr. King, in effect, saying hallelujah from heaven. That's what Congressman John Lewis said. Let's turn to a professor of African American studies at Temple University, Lewis Gordon. Your take on the emotion of this moment, Professor Gordon?
My take on it is that this is a moment of national and international euphoria. It's an entire globe exhaling because for many, it's not only the trials and tribulations of the past century, but in recent times, the difficulties faced by all of us. There's great hope. There's great joy here.
CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato, you're on the parade route, the parade to begin in about 3 hours. Security on that route and throughout Washington, D.C. is truly extraordinary. We've never seen anything like it.
I certainly haven't in my time here, Dan. You had to go through specific checkpoints just to get down here to the parade route. There are 8,000 police officers on patrol, more than half of them from agencies outside of the District of Columbia, 10,000 or so National Guard members. The security costs are expected to exceed $150 million at a time of strained government budgets. But many of the leaders I talked to said that even while they're going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul, so to speak, to make the security event happen, everything that they've done they feel is absolutely worth it on this grand occasion.
That's Barry Bagnato on the parade route, Pennsylvania Avenue. Well, Pennsylvania Avenue starts pretty much on Capitol Hill. And that's where it's all happening right now. We go back to CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer, where this ceremony will start really soon, in about 3 minutes, Peter.
If I could use one word to sum up the feelings here, it would be anticipation. And I can see it on the faces, believe it or not, of the former presidents, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, Jimmy Carter, and their wives, craning their necks, looking toward the door, waiting the arrival of President-elect Obama.
You know, the new presidential daughters have just been announced. Sasha and Malia have just stepped out. The older girl wearing a blue coat, the younger wearing a pink coat. Everyone's going to say, boy, they look cute.
They certainly do. And the other day, Mr. Obama said that they were, you know, looking at some of the coverage of him. And Malia, I believe it was, said to him, first black president, first African-American president, the speech better be good. So that is the kind of, probably that's the most personalized pressure that Mr. Obama has today on this day of great expectations for him. As I was saying, to watch these former presidents, especially as someone who's covered all of them all these years, is an amazing sight, Dan. They're all sitting in the same row, all with their overcoats on, talking in really an animated way, the former first couples. And they're talking with each other and with those around them.
First Lady, Mrs. Laura Bush, and the wife of the Vice President, Mrs. Lynn Cheney.
Here come the outgoing First Lady and the wife of the Vice President, Laura Bush, and Lynn Cheney coming out to the applause of the crowd here. All part of the symbolism of the transfer of power on this day, Dan. And, you know, this is one day when partisan politics is really and truly, we can honestly say, set aside.
I know that WCBS's Rich Lamb is with you on the western steps of the Capitol. Rich, can you just take a moment to look out at the crowd, as thick as anyone would have predicted? I mean, anyone who thought that everyone would show up.
You know, Dan, I have to tell you, I have covered some huge events in my time. The Pope's funeral in Rome, the concerts and protests in Central Park, this crowd is just bigger than anything I have seen. The numbers are just fantastic. They're just standing shoulder to shoulder as far as the eye can see. You can see about a mile to the Washington Monument, 2 miles back to the Lincoln Memorial. It's just an amazing crowd. By the way, we see Martin Luther King III up on the platform there, and you can only wonder what his father would be thinking at this moment in time as the first African-American president is about to be sworn in.
We're listening to the scene on the western steps of the Capitol. The ceremony is scheduled to begin in, well, about 30 seconds if it's on time. And at high noon in half an hour here in Washington, D.C., the 44th president of the United States is scheduled to take the oath of office and to take the reins of power, democratically elected in our democratically governed great country. We're listening to the scene from the Capitol. You hear the crowd. From CBS News, this is the inauguration of Barack Obama. I'm Dan Revive in Washington. You can hear the crowds that have gathered on the National Mall within sight of the Capitol. They see the dome behind them. They see the Washington Monument. There must be a million people there. And even beyond the Washington Monument, farther away, crowds are still arriving on the National Mall for a ceremony just getting underway. I hear people chanting Obama. The ceremony is to begin with the San Francisco Boys Chorus and the San Francisco Girls Chorus singing together. Many in the crowd are waving small American flags. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer, you're on the western steps of the Capitol.
Actually, Dan, the oath will be administered at 11:56. You know why?
I really want to know. Earlier than 12, I'm surprised.
The president's term ends at high noon, and it's very important to have the next president officially sworn in before then to technically and constitutionally assure that there will be the transfer of power in flow at that time. So at 12 noon, George Bush is officially off the job as president, and Barack Obama will already have been sworn in. Joe Biden will have been sworn in, and the new administration, in effect, will be in office. Right now, a lot of people chit-chatting there on the platform, waiting for the announced arrival of Barack Obama. Of course, we know he is inside the Capitol. And how many times have we said over the past 2 years, going back to the day we covered the February 2007 announcement of his candidacy, that this is the speech of Barack Obama's life? We said it then. We said it, so many people covering said it at the convention with his acceptance speech and the speech, the famous speech that he made on race relations. And each time, hey, this is the speech of Barack Obama's life. This one really is.
We have word, Peter, that about 100 people have been treated for hypothermia. They were brought to one of the Smithsonian museums that line the National Mall. That's where emergency medical teams have been standing by. Hypothermia, because, Peter, it's really cold there.
Yeah, when we arrived here this morning, the temperature before the sun came up, and by the way, Michelle Obama has just been announced here, the temperature was 19 with a wind chill of 8. It's in the low 20s now, but a very welcome sunshine now over the crowd. And a lot of people here are very, very pleased to be feeling that. I can tell you we are up on this platform just 100 or so feet away from the podium and the microphone where Barack Obama will be taking the oath and addressing the nation. We see Jill Biden and Michelle Obama coming in now. Mrs. Obama with a kiss on the cheek for former Vice President Al Gore. And she is elated and excited, and a big hug for Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. And she's also acknowledging the other former presidents, former President Bush and Carter and their wives here. How many of these things has George H.W. Bush witnessed over the years? And this is the first time in 2 decades that we will not be having a Bush or a Clinton in the White House.
But you certainly have many Bushes and at least 2 Clintons on stage there in the very front VIP seats to witness this handover that everyone calls historic. The fact that that the first African-American president of the United States is to be sworn in about 20 minutes from now.
Right, and as you were mentioning with Professor Bose earlier, this has been a very, very smooth transition. George W. Bush put out the order even before the election, saying no matter who is elected, this has to be businesslike and smooth. The first post 9/11 transfer of power. They've had exercises to discuss the potential emergencies that could confront the incoming administration. There, of course, was the luncheon, Barack Obama's idea, the luncheon of all the former presidents with Barack Obama. And George W. Bush later saying there will come the moment when it hits Barack Obama that he is the president of the United States. It could come when he walks into the Oval Office or the moment he says, so help me God, here this morning, or perhaps when he hears Hail to the Chief in his honor for the first time.
Peter Mayer, for listeners just joining us, what have you learned about what the new president will say in his inaugural address, which begins in less than half an hour?
Well, some of the top aides had been talking to reporters and some of our colleagues at CBS News before the speech. He will open by outlining what he sees as the enormity of the task, of the challenge facing the country. We're told that the speech balances what's described by one of his aides as a serious and very sober tone with a full dose of hope and inspiration, Dan. And interestingly enough, this top aide says that the thought processes for this speech for Barack Obama really came together on Thanksgiving. And now we hear ruffles and flourishes. President George W. Bush will be introduced, and let's listen to what happens here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, the Honorable George Walker Bush, and the Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney, accompanied by Senate Republican Leader Senator Mitch McConnell, Senator Robert Bennett, House Republican Leader Representative John Boehner, and Secretary for the Minority, David Chiappa.
I saw you up there.
The outgoing president of the United States, George W. Bush, is shaking hands with a lot of people as he walks down the blue carpeted steps from the Capitol building toward the lectern. He'll get to witness Barack Obama being sworn in as the next president, but right now it's a last hurrah for the 43rd president, George W. Bush. WCBS's Rich Lamb, what are you seeing from a few yards away?
We're watching as Mr. Bush makes his way down the aisle, shaking hands. He's coming up now. He's shaking hands with President Clinton and with Senator Clinton. We can tell you that Bush 41, he just shook hands with his father. His father is wearing a big fur hat. Mr. Clinton has his shock of white hair exposed. He has no hat on. Jimmy Carter is looking very cool in a pair of dark glasses over there. I'm telling you, that all of the ex-presidents over there standing in a row. And Mr. Bush making his way along the aisle, continuing to shake hands, enjoying his final moments as chief executive of the United States.
Fashion notes about men in their 80s, former presidents who can wear and do just about anything they want to.
That's one of his favorite hats that he likes to wear up at his house at Kennebunkport, Maine. He likes to take these power walks on the beach, although he's on a cane now. But I've traipsed after him on the beach in the cold of February, Dan, and he always wears this hat, and he gets a big kick out of the reaction that he gets from it. But right now we are awaiting the penultimate moment here as Barack Obama is introduced, and I hope they have the seismographs going over at the U.S. Geologic Survey, because when he is announced, there is going to be rock and roll on the Washington Mall, that's for sure.
I noticed that Dick Cheney, the outgoing vice president, has taken his place. He's in a wheelchair.
Inaugural coordinator for the Joint Congressional Committee.
Let me explain. Dick Cheney is in a wheelchair because he strained some back muscles, his office says, while lifting some boxes, part of his move yesterday. Dick Cheney, who will turn 68 late this month, is in a wheelchair for this, the inauguration ceremony. As we hear, senior members of Congress, part of the inauguration committee, are approaching and about to exit the Capitol building. is President-elect Barack Obama. He is, in effect, standing alone. The members of Congress who are escorting him are in front of him, two by two, and then the president-elect alone. He's wearing a dark overcoat, a red tie. Who knows what's going on in his mind? He looks serious.
The president-elect of the United States, Joseph R. Biden, Jr.
There are about 28,000 people who have seats. They've got tickets to bring them seats. And then about 210,000 people have standing room only tickets. And beyond that, hundreds of thousands of people, Americans who've come to see this. Many are waving small flags. You can see it in the distance. Joe Biden shaking hands and kisses on the cheek being exchanged. Peter Mayer, take it. You can see it.
Well, Dan, this is truly the start of the great inaugural pageant. This scene, the very symbol of peaceful transition of power in our country, the president and the president-elect on the same platform. It also underscores the amazing Barack Obama story. Just think, just about 2 years ago when he announced what some viewed as his unlikely candidacy, Barack Obama was living in a tiny apartment just a few blocks away from here. I imagine one of these days there'll be like a historic plaque on that apartment. He told our friends at 60 Minutes that he was often teased that he was the only senator who had a worse apartment than his 25-year-old staffers. Well, tomorrow Mr. Obama will wake up in the White House. It is just quite a story indeed. Even though we've had a chance to absorb it all, those who supported him and those who did not, since Election Day and that momentous night at Grant Park. President George W. Bush, as is his habit, is sort of rocking back and forth on his toes. You know, he has this sort of impatient look. He's shrugging his shoulders and talking to the people around him. He's standing at the center stage, and he's got about 19 minutes left in office. And I would imagine that his thoughts are in Crawford, Texas right now, where he will be traveling later today, first to Midland, Texas, his home base, where he and Mrs. Bush lived after they were first married, where he started his own political career. They'll be choppering out of here today, going to Andrews Air Force Base, and flying on a plane from the Air Force One fleet, but of course today it won't be called Air Force One, because it only has that designation when the president's on board. But President Bush scanning the crowd, familiar faces, people he's worked with and people he's probably worked against over the past 8 years, sort of probably taking a mental role. And even he is looking out at the vast crowd here, too. It's just quite a sight. Listen, listen.
The president-elect, staff director for the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies, Howard Dantman, the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms.
And when Barack Obama comes out just below the Capitol Dome, we'll shift to our correspondent who's in the crowd about half a mile away. But let's listen to the introduction of Barack Obama.
The Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi. Senate Majority Leader, Senator Harry Reid. House Majority Leader, Representative Steny Hoyer. House Republican Leader, Representative John Boehner.
Those are the escorts for President-elect Obama. The Democrats, who pretty much control Congress, seem to be in the lead. The House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, shaking hands. But their Republican counterparts are with them, too. It's a bipartisan event, this peaceful transfer of power.